Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. We're going to continue tonight with our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And, of course, this is the last chapter in this grand book. I hope it's been a blessing to you as we studied through it. If you would like to get any of the messages that you've missed and you have a computer, you can go on www.ghtg.org. And we have all of our sermons from the church and from the radio broadcast on our website. So that's www.ghtg. That's initials for Good Hope Through Grace.org. And you can get any messages that you've missed. Now we're going to title the message tonight, Paul's Plans. And in verses 5 through verses 12, Paul is going to share with the Corinthians what his plans are. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on four statements in this section that are made. The first statement that we're going to look at is, if the Lord permit. The next statement, a great door. The next statement, he worketh the work of the Lord. And then the last statement that we're going to look at, it was not his will, but his will was not at all to come. That will be the four statements that we look at this evening. Now, that'll make more sense to you as we get down through the text. So, Paul's plans, and we'll focus on those four statements that I gave you. Well, let's notice, first of all, in verse 5, it says, now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. So the Apostle Paul is sharing with the Corinthian church what his plans are. He planned on visiting them, and that's what he's sharing when he was going to try to do that. Well, he says, for I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. Now, that's our first statement we're going to stop and dwell on here just a little bit. Remember this section we entitled Paul's Plans. And we're bringing out certain statements in this section for our study for this evening. The first one, if the Lord permits. Now, there's nothing wrong with making plans. Of course, anytime we're going to go on a trip or even when we plan to do something at a church or whatever, it requires some planning. And that's what the Apostle Paul, he was setting down what he planned on doing in the future, and he wanted to know, them to know, the Corinth church, that he was planning on visiting them at a certain time. Well, once he revealed his plan, what he was planning on doing, then he followed that up by saying, if the Lord permit. So he placed that, his plans, under the will of God. Now, I think it's important to do that. I think it's a form of pride to say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, without saying the Lord willing, because in all honesty, you don't know what is going to happen on tomorrow. You can set down all the plans you want to, but if the Lord doesn't permit, these things are not going to happen. So when Paul gives his plan, when he tells them about him planning on visiting them, he was careful to say, if the Lord permit. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he does the same thing there too. He uses this same, if the Lord permit statement. Now, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 19. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. So he submits that thing to the will of God. He mentioned it here in 1 Corinthians 4:19, and again in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to come if the Lord will. So when we make plans, we want to make sure we always make that statement. When we say we're going to do something, we need to acknowledge our Lord in this thing. Because if he permits, we'll do it. But if he don't permit, then I can guarantee you we won't. In the book of James, it stresses this to a tremendous degree. Great text here in James chapter 5. So let's turn there and let's notice another example of saying, if the Lord will. James chapter 5, and let's notice what it says in the text. I'm sorry, James chapter 4. It says in verse 13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow. This is James 4 and the verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today and tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. See, that's, again, a plan. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life as even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away? For what you ought to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicings is evil. Therefore he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is sin. So there you have another example. The book of James stresses the same thing. Is we need to, when we give plans, when we say we're going to do something, we need to qualify our statement by saying, Lord willing, because we're recognizing that our Lord in this situation, we're recognizing the Lord in our plans. To leave his name out is to disregard him. And it is a form of pride. And certainly we don't want to be guilty of that. The book of Proverbs chapter 27 and the verse 1, let me read this text to you. It speaks of a tomorrow, and it talks about boasting of tomorrow. And that's what you're basically doing when you say what you're going to do and leaves out the Lord's name, if the Lord will. Proverbs 27 the verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. I mean, I got plans for tomorrow. I got things I'm planning on doing. I'm going to study and pray and make some visits. But I'm going to do those things, Lord willing, because I don't know what tomorrow may hold for me. So I'm acknowledging my God in my planning. I make plans, and then I'll qualify them by saying, Lord willing. And that's what you notice Paul doing here in our text in Romans chapter 16. If the Lord permit, I'm going to do this or that. And evidently, the plans he made here, he didn't get to carry them out, because in 2 Corinthians, they were questioning him, or they were raising complaints of him not doing what he said he's going to do. But he had qualified his statements by Lord willing. So let me give you an example of this type of foolish boasting, but not saying what you're going to do without saying Lord willing. And a good example of that you see in the book of Luke chapter 12. There was a rich man, doesn't tell us his name, but you can get a clear example of what it means of foolish planning, making your plans, disregarding God, disregarding his direction, assuming that there's going to even be a tomorrow. That's what it means back in our text when it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because you indeed don't know what a day may be forth. Your time may be tomorrow. You might be going around saying what you're going to do, but you don't know that for sure. In the book of Luke chapter 12, told about a rich man, and his goal was to get a harvest so that he could sit back and retire and not have to work anymore. And sounds like America, doesn't it? Sounds like that's how we are. We got our plans. We're going to work our days, and then we're going to save our money, and we'll get a good retirement, and then we'll go get a cabin by the lake and just retire one day and just enjoy life. Problem with that is there's an eternity out there. You're not prepared for life if you're not prepared for eternity. People forget about eternity. I want you to know you're going to spend an eternity somewhere. That's what you need to be prepared for. But here in Luke chapter 12, this rich man, and he says what all he's going to do. Now here's an example of foolish boasting, not using Lord willing as Christians are supposed to use. Of course, this man was a lost man, but you'll find God's people doing this too. Here's this rich man. He gets this harvest so that he can retire. He's wanted it for years. Now he can sit back and just take it easy and enjoy life. Notice what he says within himself. Verse 17. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no more room where to bestow my fruits. His harvest was so great, the barns that he had was too small. Now listen to him. This will I do. This will I do. I will pour down my barns and build greater. And there I will, see all the I do's, I will. Listen to all the I will's in this situation. That's why to boast of tomorrow is such a arrogant thing. Not saying Lord willing is a very arrogant thing. You're not recognizing God. You're not recognizing, you're not going to do anything if the Lord doesn't will it. He goes on to say, and he said, this will I do. I will pour down my barns and build greater. I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, salve thou as much good laid up for many years, eat, drink, and be merry. You see all the I wills? Did you hear any Lord willings in there? You didn't hear that, did it? Did you hear if the Lord permit? This man didn't acknowledge the Lord. His whole life was about, retirement, sitting back and taking it easy. But the thing he did is he forgot God, and he forgot eternity. And here's what God says to him. He said, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He assumed he had many years. But you know what? He didn't have many years. This night, God said, thy soul shall be required of thee. That very night he died. And he went out into eternity lost. And it says he was not rich towards God. And this man is used an example. In verse 15 says to beware of covetousness. That means to be greedy of gain. And why the Bible says to beware of covetousness is it can take over your mind, it can take over your time, and it can cause you to forget God. So let's go back to our text in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So in this message that we're looking at tonight, Paul's revealing his plans. He shares with the church of Corinth that he planned on visiting them when he passed through Macedonia. He planned on wintering with them, it says, spending the winter with them, he says in verse 6. And he then said in verse 7, if the Lord permits. So I want to draw attention to that statement and encourage you that are listening, if you're saved, make sure when you boast of doing something, if you say you're going to do something, then you need to add the Lord willing to that. Because if he's not willing, you're not going to do it, and it acknowledges him in your life. Number two, now he mentions in verses 8 and 9, this is all part of Paul's plan. He mentions here that there was a great door open to him, and that's our next statement we're going to focus on in this section. Verse 8, he said, I'm going to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Now you can go back in the book of Acts, and you can read where the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus. And there was indeed a great door open to him in Ephesus. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, you can read about him and when he was at Ephesus. And in the book of Acts, chapter 20, you can read about these things. Now, one of the things you're going to see when he was at Ephesus, it's mainly chapter 19. Let me turn there real fast. I can't remember right off of that. Yeah, chapter 19. Chapter 19. And then in chapter 20, he gives a charge to the elders from Ephesus. But Ephesus, of course, is the epistle of the Ephesians in the New Testament. And Paul spent 2 years there in Acts chapter 19. And I want you to listen how well things went there. Remember, we're looking at a great door was open to him. It says in Acts 19 in the verse 10, it says, and they continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now that's tremendous when you think about it. He went to Ephesus. From there, he reached into Asia with the message. There was at Ephesus, the false religion there was the worship of the goddess Diana, and the silversmiths made a lot of money selling probably We don't know exactly what they made, but most think they made maybe little temples, models of the temple of the goddess Diana, and sold them. Let me read you about that. For it says in Acts chapter 19, there at the same time there arose no small stir about that way. That was an early name for Christianity. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, made silver shrines for Diana, and they brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. So they made their money making these shrines for the temple of the goddess Diana. That was her temple was one of the seven wonders of the world at that time. And these craftsmen, about no doubt a lot of visitors came there, they made a lot of money off that. What happened? This door was so great here in this area. Listen to what happened in verse 26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. So many people were saved that folks stopped buying those goddess, those shrines made of the temple there. They couldn't sell them anymore. Why was that? People were turning from idolatry. Why was that? They got saved. The Lord saved them. The Lord opened a door there in Asia, and it began at Ephesus. And that's what Paul's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 16. You can read about it in Acts 19. But the Lord greatly blessed, and he opened the door. He opens the doors. Well, that's what it takes. If you're going to be effective in the Lord's work, you have to have the Lord be the one that opens the doors. Because if he doesn't open the door, then there's nothing going to be accomplished. You got to have his hand. You got to have his help. In the book of Colossians chapter 4, it tells us that we need to pray for doors of utterance. I want you to listen to that. Colossians chapter 4 and the verse 3. We are to pray for doors of utterance. That's opportunities to share Jesus with people. And we should pray for those really every day of our life. Listen to this now. In Colossians 4 and verse 2 and 3, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us. Now Paul requests that the Colossae church pray for them, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Now who would open that door? Well, God would. And if God doesn't open it, you can't kick it open. You need to have open opportunities to share Jesus with people. And we should pray for those opportunities every day of our life. We should pray. When we get up in the morning, we should say, Lord, open me a door of utterance today that I may share the gospel, that I may share Jesus with somebody today. So Paul's asking the Colossian church to pray for him, to pray for us, that's his team, that God would open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. So he prayed for doors. Now, he was in prison when he wrote this epistle, but he was still praying for doors of opportunity to share Jesus to be opened up. Now, if you think for yourself, if you really want to see people saved, then we should pray for the opportunity to share Jesus with folk. And that's a great blessing, but the Lord has to open those opportunities up. You can't kick the door open. You might have tried to do that before and didn't go very good, did it? But often, if you'll pray for them, the Lord will open up those opportunities for you to share Jesus with someone. Let's look at some other examples of this. Let me see if I can find a couple here real fast. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Let me see if this is one of them right here. Verse 27, I want you to listen to this one. Now, this is at the end of the first missionary journey in Acts 14. They done concluded, they done came back to the Antioch church that sent them out. And listen what he says. And when they were come, they gathered the church together. That's the church of Antioch. That was a local church. They rehearsed all that God had done. Notice they didn't tell. I've heard people do that before. It turns me off when they do that. They tell what all they done for the Lord. Well, when Paul came back, and his first missionary journey was greatly blessed, as they all were, he rehearsed all that God had done. He didn't take glory for anything. That's why the book of 1 Corinthians 1 said, if you're going to glory, you glory in the Lord. If you're going to witness, you got to have an open door. And the Lord's the one that opens that. And then you need to pray that he would help you make it manifest as you ought to speak it too. Now listen to this now. When they were come, they gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Now listen here. And how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Again, you see the importance. He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So, a great door was open, he says here in Romans chapter 16. And we need to pray for open doors. We need to pray for that we could share Jesus with people on our jobs, in our homes, in our families, in our communities, in our churches. Lord, open me a door of utterance to share Jesus with someone. But if you start praying for that, it's amazing how the Lord will indeed open doors. It also puts you on high alert, because sometimes you can miss witnessing opportunities because you're not looking for them. And when you ask for them, then it's amazing how the Lord opens doors. So in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, we're told about the church of Philadelphia. That was one of the churches of Asia. And he said this to them, that he's the one that opens and no man shuts. And he set before the Philadelphia church an open door. So that means they was going to have an opportunity to really present Jesus in their area. But God was the one that opened that door. So we need to pray for that every day of our life, that the Lord would do that. Now, not only does the Lord open opportunities to witness, but he also opens people's hearts. He also opens people's hearts. And a lot of times this gets missed too. There's a text in the book of Revelation. I think it's chapter 3. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. Well, that's speaking to the church there. They had shut Jesus out. It doesn't say anything about a heart in that text. It doesn't say heart's door. It says it's talking about that church there in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Let me read that real fast. I need to establish it. I'm fast running out of time this evening. I think it's Revelation 3 and the verse 20. I want you to listen to this. You need to keep things in its context when you do it. And he's speaking to the church of the Laodiceans. The church of the Laodiceans, and that church had really drifted. And here's what he's addressing this church. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, it doesn't say heart's door. Context, he's talking to the church of Laodicea. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. He's addressing the church there. He said, if anybody there open the door, I'll come in and fellowship with you. Well, the heart's door is something different. A man's heart's door is closed, and as a matter of fact, the scripture says our heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And the only one that can open your heart's door is the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a lady in the book of Acts chapter 16, and her name was Lydia. And in Acts chapter 16, I want you to notice verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, this is Acts 16:14. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Now, I want you to listen to this. Whose heart the Lord opened. Now, who opened Lydia's heart? Well, it says that the Lord opened her heart. And to open your heart, when you're talking about your heart, you're basically talking about your man. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When he opens your heart, he's opening your man. And he's opening your understanding. So Lydia heard the Apostle Paul preach. Paul, Silas, they heard him preach. And then what happened? The Lord opened her heart. She opened her understanding. She seen her need for a Savior. And she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 says, he hath given us an understanding to know him that is true. He hath given us the understanding. He opened our heart. To open your heart is to open your understanding. So let's go back to our text. We're fast running out of time. Romans 16. Let's try to get another statement in here tonight. We're looking at Paul's plans, 1 Corinthians 16:5 through 12. And we're bringing up statements in this section. First statement was, if the Lord permit, if God permit. Second one, a great door is opened. And let's move on to the third one, which says, he worketh the work of God. Now, this was said of Timothy. He worketh the work of God. Now, he planned on sending Timothy at this time to them. As a matter of fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians 4:17, he had already sent him. Let me go back and read that real fast. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. It says, let me see if I can find it here. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus. So evidently he had already been sent. And what he wants them to do is he reminds them he was working the work of God and they needed to receive him. It says, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he works the work of the Lord as I do. So he's helping this young man. Because he was young, he said in the book of Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth. So he was a young man. Paul sends him down there, and they needed to respect him, and he needed to be able to be with him without fear. Now, no doubt, being young, maybe he was fearful going to this church because it had a lot of divisions in it. But he said, when he comes down there, let him be with you without fear. They were to take care of him. And they needed to recognize that though he was young, he was working the work of the Lord. So he says, let no man despise him, but conduct him forth in peace that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. So, he's basically telling them and reminding them that though he was a young man and though he was a youth, but he was a very proven man of God, and they needed to remind themselves that he's doing the work of God. Now, the greatest work there is on this planet is what? It's doing the work of God. And I tell you, one of the things we need today is people, young people like Timothy, that are dedicated to the work of the Lord, and we need to encourage them in our churches. So often, young people ain't so much a part of the services, but they need to be. They can contribute, they can serve the Lord, and when they're doing the Lord's work, that's what the blessing indeed is. It's such a blessing to see young people doing the Lord's work. Let's grab this last statement, and then we'll close. And this last statement is about Apollos, and he was an eloquent speaker. We've seen him in the book of Acts chapter 19. And Paul desired Apollos to visit the Corinthian church. As a matter of fact, some of the people at Corinth greatly respected Apollos, very eloquent speaker. And in the earlier part of the book of 1 Corinthians, some were divided up under their preachers. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, you remember? So he wanted Apollos to visit. You know what Apollos said? It was, as he said, it was not at all his will to come at this time. Apollos said basically, no, I don't feel like I need to go right now. So what did Paul do? Did he get mad and quit speaking? No, he just accepted it. He didn't say, I'm Paul, you're going to do what I say. No, he requested that he go, he urged him to go. But he chose not to. But at the same time, they never fought over it. Isn't that a beautiful thing to see? Well, folks, we're at the end of our time tonight. This has been Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of Good Hope Through Grace, Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Thank you so much for listening.
Conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.